When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects as the countdown continues to Christmas and the holidays, if you're into all that. But rest assured, if you're here, then we're here, and we will probably be here through the holidays for you, even though everybody else is too cool for school and probably won't be. Nick is here, Barry's here, I'm here, and I believe we're all on the schedule for the rest of the week, correct?
I'm here.
I believe we are.
Yeah.
I'm here through like mid-January.
We are the cool kids.
Yeah.
Well, you have to. You used up vacation, I think, for 6 years. So
shut up.
You're not getting any time off.
No, I have like one show through the rest of the year, so I'm actually kind of excited about that. I'm exhausted.
Okay. Well, not only are you exhausted, but your body's breaking down because since I was here since 11, and Nick was
11,
and Nick was producing the Palillo show because obviously everybody has taken a month off, and we had to shuffle some pieces around here. You come in and you look like someone put like ice down your back or down your shorts or something like that.
I walk down the hall in the commercial break and I just see Barry Laminack on the floor doing these weird stretch exercises.
I was doing my yoga.
You were
my
not yogas. Doing yoga.
I was doing my yogas. I know I'm officially old. And it's funny because I do this on stage where I talk about feeling old and how your body breaks down. Mm-hmm. Dude, I got out of the car. I was fine this morning. No problems. Nothing going wrong. And I'm going to try not to do
He's
that.
He's spasming as we as he speaks.
But I get out of the car and I go to put my drink on the roof of the car to get my bag. And as soon as I set it down, my back just goes, hey! And just locks up. And I was just like, and I out loud went, oh!
You sound like that coach from Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that what it felt like?
Oh, my God. It hurts. So it hurt. Like, right then, I couldn't even breathe. Like, it hurt to breathe. So I'm just now getting to the point. Like, I take the stairs every morning or every day when I get here. I was on the elevator. I was out there walking. There was some dude out there on the second floor, and I'm walking going, oh, because it's spasming. And he's looking at me like, what is this dude's problem? Is he pooping in his pants right now?
So he walks in the prep room, and I'm like, well, let me see what I can tell you in terms of stretches for the upper back, lower back. And then lo and behold, he is on the floor when you walked by.
Oh my God.
I'm like, oh, Nick's going to notice that for sure. And I told him, I said, the other thing you can do is you can do like a rocking chair stretch where you put your feet over your head and roll back, kind of like roll on your back. I go, if you want, I'll leave the room and shut the door so that no one sees you doing that.
I can't even touch my toes. You just made me do a rocking chair?
Well, I can't even
touch my toes.
So remind us again, what was the stressful and physical activity that caused you to pull your back? What was it? You did what?
He put his drink on the roof of the car.
Bitch.
I just want to clarify for the audience.
Kiss my ass. I'm not even
You put a drink
to you.
On top.
I'm not even talking to you. Turn his mic off, somebody. Tyler, get in here. Turn his mic off. Yes, I was putting my drink on the car, okay?
Yeah.
That was the physical exertion that caused me to blow my back out.
So he walks in like Mr. Roboto after that. It's like, oh, man, this is going to be a treat right now.
I've just just dawned on me. It's like, maybe it's just because I've been in the car so much. Because literally, like Thursday, drove to Dallas after the show, drove to Dallas, Plano, did a set, drove back home, got up, came here, left, went to Plano, did two sets, or, you know, Sunday morning driving back home. So, like, it's been a lot of driving. I'm like, That has to be, because my back will, like, if I drive too much anyways on a long trip, it'll start to
hurt
a little bit.
That's happened to me too.
So I'm thinking that's what it is. I'm thinking that's what it, that and I, and I'm just old. I'm just an old ass man now.
See, it could get worse tomorrow. You could be like super stiff tomorrow. We don't even know.
I've got some gummies left from LA. I'm gonna.
You can eat those during the show tomorrow.
No, I will eat them tonight along with a muscle relaxer and see how that goes. I don't know if that'll kill me or not.
I think you should
that's
wait.
When you should be like full blown on Twitter.
What?
The muscle relaxer and the gummies, and then just the be like Harry Carey on Twitter. Just
or take the muscle relaxer at 12:30 tomorrow.
Hey, check
right before the show.
Check dude. Out the guy making that tackle. Holy cow.
I don't know how good it would be. It would be horrible radio.
Be entertaining for us.
Yeah, just put videos. Don't bother us with it. Just put the videos on Twitter if you do.
As long as the video stream is working, it'd be great.
I should go to my Twitch account and just live stream me watching football.
I've noticed, by the way, that Lance McCullers is doing that like daily now.
Twitching?
He's got something to do, so he's doing. Yeah, he and Correa are shooting like.
I started their video doing that. Games. I got to tell you, I set up the account because Michael Carroll and a couple other people were like, man, you really need to do that. Like people would like watching you. You make it funny. I feel awkward doing it, so I haven't really committed to it. It just feels like I feel like I have to be funny every single moment. It's like it's more pressure than normal. Like I can come on the radio, and if I'm not feeling funny today, we can just talk sports, and I don't have to feel like I have to be funny. But once you fire that up, it's like that's what people are there for. They want to laugh. They don't want to watch you ride a horse all over God's green earth for 4 hours.
Some people are actually into it. I mean, everybody has their own channel that they follow. They don't necessarily expect you to be funny the entire time. I don't think you should feel that pressure.
No?
It's the Twitter handle that does it, too. I mean, if that's out there, then there's just true. No getting around it. You have to be.
Oh, I am excited, though. I was telling Joel right before we came on air. So I got all my stuff together for my new podcast, The 15, where I'm going to interview people that have gone viral. I got my first interview lined up already.
With me, right?
No. Did you go viral?
Oh,
before?
Plenty of times.
Like, what do you
Nick's
consider
videos
viral?
Videos have gone viral.
No, I've never gone viral. Ever.
Like, because I have that Honey Badger video that got like 180,000 views on YouTube, but that's not viral.
Nick, I thought your videos, like, you gotta be in the millions. ESPN picks them up and stuff. I thought they blew up.
I mean, some of my tweets have been viral, like, but not. It wasn't me that went viral. It was about somebody else. Like Patrick Beverly, when he got onto the court. Got into it with Russell Westbrook when he was still a Rocket. That tweet went viral.
Patrick Creighton, when he got into it with...
That went viral.
Yeah. So, wait a minute. So you left Thursday, by the way. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so the first guy that I got was one of the first people to ever go viral. The Evolution of Dance guy.
He's funny.
Do you remember that? Like, that dude, he was at like a high school auditorium and he was doing different dances throughout the decades. I just was like, okay, I've got to start. Like, I've got my logo. I've got my branding. I've got all the social media set up for this. I'm about to get it on Podbeam and get all that stuff lined up. I was like, I got to start getting people, like, quit procrastinating and interview people. Late last night on a whim, I was just like, all right, I'm just going to pick a name from the list. And then I thought, okay, well, who was one of the first people to go viral? I was like, well, I know that dancing baby isn't real, so, right, so I can't get the dancing baby. So then I thought, oh, well, dancing, duh. So I just sent him a message on Twitter. He was like, let's do it, man. This sounds great. I was like, wow, I was expecting a lot more no's. Like, no, bitch, I had my 15, and I don't want to do that now, and now you're mocking me because I'm not famous anymore. And no, he was cool with it. He's like, yeah, let's line it up. See, here's my email. Shoot me an email. We'll get it going. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
That's awesome because he's the guy, if I may. He's what Caliendo does when he does all the imitations that he did with Lance and John, where he switches in an instant. He does the dance version of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he's kind of a larger guy, so it was really funny.
He's and now he's like a motivational speaker and a comedian. Oh. I made an air quote. But I don't know. But it's going to be interesting. I'm going to find out. We'll see what he's been up to, because I don't think he works now. I think he makes a living off of being the Evolution dance guy.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I'm like, I'm interested to find out what's going on.
I did watch a viral video yesterday, and it made me think of your podcast, because apparently it went viral like a year ago, but that whole backup Terry, the guy that's on a wheelchair. And
that Radu told me to get that guy.
Dude, it is such a funny video.
Put it in reverse, Terry.
Back up, Terry. Oh my God, it's the funniest video ever.
I had never seen that. Like, thank God for Radu, because he, like, I had started to make a list of viral stuff, but my stuff was old stuff. Like the grape lady, do you remember her?
Yeah.
She was on the news, and it was her and another news lady, and they're stomping grapes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and she got hurt.
And she falls. And
she falls down.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I want to interview her.
Yeah, that was that was in Sacramento, I think.
There was a lady that did the news that got thrown up on.
I saw that.
I want to interview her. So, like, I'm like, I want to interview all these people. But, man, that's the kind of stuff I remember, like the grape lady, the evolution of dance. So there's a bunch of newer stuff that I'm going to have to get hip on. But thank God for Radu, because he helped me with
the news lady did it after taking the hot chip challenge.
There
was two of them. There's the one you're talking about. But then there was another anchor that tried to fake it.
Yes.
And like she's like, oh, this isn't that. And they're like, oh, really?
Live on the
and then
news.
They give her the milk, which was the worst thing you could do, because she's under the desk just going, just letting it fly.
Now, this lady was at a Iron Man challenge, and there were people doing like beer bongs and drinking, and she's interviewing this guy, and then off camera, somebody just spews, and it just goes all over her.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, damn. That's gross. So,
hey, listen to this. I can't help myself. Listen to it right when the firecracker's about to go off.
Set it up. You gotta set it up.
I just want to hear you guys say up, Terry.
So set it up. So there's this. It's fireworks time. I don't know if it's 4th of July or New Year's, but they're setting off fireworks. And one of the main guys setting off the fireworks is in a wheelchair. So he's helping, but there's another guy doing it. And then, of course, there's a guy filming. So once they get him lit, then this happens.
Bag up, bag up, bag up, Terry. Put it in reverse, Terry. Oh, Lord, Jesus. What you doing, Terry?
Terry, back it up. So what happened was Terry didn't move, and they set the fireworks off literally right next to Terry.
Literally like 8 inches away from his wheelchair. It's ridiculous. It's the funniest thing ever.
Put it in reverse, Terry.
You need to tweet that out. You need to tweet.
Yeah, I want to see that.
At the producer, Nick. Y'all need to go and follow Nick and check out that video. Hilarious. Yeah, he's on the list. Radu added him. Backup. That's all it says. You should see my list. It's not the people's names. It's what they're famous for. Like, one of the names on my list just says Backup Terry.
You should get your boy Kid on there.
Kid?
From Kid and Play.
Why?
Why not? It'd be cool.
Well, he's still...
He doesn't fit the 15 minutes.
It's for people that went viral or got fame, like viral type
specific?
Of fame. Yeah.
I was going to say, because from what you said about just like the off camera stuff, just off the record stuff about just like being there at a time when hip hop was big and
man.
All the MTV all
he
that.
Needs, yeah,
his
no,
stories
he needs
would
to be
amazing.
On, yeah, he needs to be on like Rock the Bell Radio, Rock the Bells Radio, and interviewed there.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're just getting started. Plenty of stories still to come. More hilarity and jocularity as we roll through sports as well. If you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HR and P listener line, where you can call, you can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny, and at The Producer Nick. Before we hit the break, though, I do want to tell you about my good friend Josh Pestikoff and his staff at Infuse Energy. I switched to Infuse Energy about a little over a year ago. I'm telling you what, gang, I saved like almost like $2,000 in a year on my electricity bills, because I had no idea what a racket it was till I sat down with Josh and he walked me through it. And I'm telling you, getting the right rate from people that aren't going to screw you over is so important when you're looking for energy providers. And what people don't realize is when your contract expires, if you don't tell them that you either want to renew or move on, they can change the rates on you and you can pay so much more and you just end up holding the bill and footing the bill without even knowing. And those are the kind of things that Infuse isn't going to do. They're going to make sure they communicate with you throughout the process and make sure you know exactly what's going on at all times. They're also going to do that with their rates. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them to find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for business? Is it for personal and the family? What are you doing? When are you using it? And then figure out a plan that's best for you. In most cases, they're going to put a perfect plan with a great rate together for you and your family or your business. Sometimes, though, the competition can beat them. And they're even going to be honest enough to tell you that, because they want you to trust them like a true friend. And you'll know that even if you don't go with them this time, you'll be back again, because they take care of you. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. I'm telling you right now, 100% green energy at your fingertips. All you do is call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or log on to infuseenergy.com. Mention ESPN 97.5, get a $25 bill credit, and we go from there. I'm telling you right now, Infuse energy into your life.
Power,
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, Lord, please! Ow, Lord! Ow, please! What you doing, Terry?
That is freaking hilarious. What you doing, Terry? Oh, Lord, we're back on The Usual Suspects. It's a Monday and a fun day right here at the Gow Media Studios. We will be here all week. Remember, Friday now is an all-day extravaganza for Gow Media and ESPN 97.5, as the morning festivities for the party will be over at Klein's Fine Jewelers, and then we will be on the air from Nick's place. Palillo, then us and the Blitz will be celebrating in the afternoon the holiday party extravaganza for the listeners over at Nick's. So it starts at Klein's in the morning, and then right about 11, it switches over to Nick's, and we'll be there until 7 o'clock with all three shows, just as an FYI.
Word.
So let me get this straight.
Well, real
so
quick.
So you hit the road Friday after the show.
Yes.
So you drove there for 15 minutes. You drove back. Then you did the show. Then you drove there again. Did you come back Friday night?
No, I stayed Friday night and Saturday night and drove back Sunday.
Oh, so you had shows there Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
Thank God for that, because I didn't want the car to have some time to cool down.
No, I had one show Friday that I headlined Friday night at the Hyenas in Plano. And that was just one show, thank goodness. And then Saturday had two shows where I featured for Jeremy Piven from Entourage, who I know you're...
Ari Gold.
You're a big fan of his.
Big fan of the show and him, yeah.
I will just tell you, there's a saying, and this is not for me, but for you. Mm-hmm. There's a saying that says, don't meet your heroes. We'll just leave it at that.
You know, Thumper said, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all.
I'm just saying, don't meet your heroes. That's all wow. I'm saying. What was crazy was he's been doing comedy for 10 months. So, you know, you're not going to expect, I mean, he got laughs. He got his laughs and he was he's telling stories about, you know, Hollywood and stuff like that. And so I'm not going to knock that. He was getting laughs. He was doing his thing. But one of the disappointing things was, as you guys know, as a comedian, especially at the role I'm at where I'm just featuring and sometimes I headline, a lot of my money comes from merch, selling merchandise, selling shirts or koozies or whatever on the road. That's how I make.
Right.
Sometimes I'll make more than what the club pays me in merchandise. So,
wow.
So I rely on that as a road comic to really help. So that night he had this big box of shirts, and that's fine. I've worked with, you know, people that's headliners that have that, that's no big deal. We do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I asked the club owner, I was like, so am I going to be cool selling my stuff? I'll just stay out of the way. He goes, no, not, you can't. And then I'm thinking, I didn't sell anything Friday night. None. Just, that's how this club is. Like, they either buy everything or nothing. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have anything Friday night. These are two sold out shows on Saturday. And I was thinking, okay, well, at least I'll make some money on Saturday. And then he's like, nope, you can't sell anything. So I didn't sell anything the first show. And I was like, man, this really sucks, because I went to my girl Haley and ordered extra shirts for the weekend.
This is in Dallas?
Yeah, this is okay. In Plano. Right. So I had even gone to Haley at Sea Level Silks and ordered extra shirts. So I'm like, man, I got all this money invested. I'm probably going to lose money on comedy this weekend. This is crap. So then I start negotiating with the club owner. I was like, look, I won't be inside. Can I just do it in the parking lot? And he was like, I mean, if it's in the parking lot, I don't care. I was like, bet. I was like, I don't care. I'll sell them in the parking lot. And then I was kind of perturbed, right? I was like, you know what? So maybe it was a little extra on stage. I maybe would turn it up to 11. Did pretty well. I was like, cool. That's going to be hard to follow. That's all right. Then after the show, man, I mean, I sold like $500 worth of shirts in the parking lot.
That's great.
After the show.
Blessing in disguise, man.
Yeah. So I was like, that's cool. But then I'm thinking, damn, you imagine if I would have got to do that for both shows? That sucks.
Making it rain.
Yeah. But
never showed up to work.
Now, so Jeremy Piven was at the shows in Plano?
He did three clubs in three nights. So instead of working a whole weekend at one club, he did the Dallas club Friday night for mm-hmm. two shows. He did the Plano club Saturday night for two shows. And then Sunday night, he did the Fort Worth club for two shows. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a good, it was packed though, man. Packed. And it was weird because I was talking to him in between sets and he was like, man, that was kind of a weird crowd. He goes, I think I attract a crowd that doesn't know how to act at a comedy club. Like, these aren't folks that normally go to comedy clubs. And he's right. They were very reserved. Like, you would tell a joke and they would start to laugh and then they would just stop. Like, and then that was it. And then they would just wait. It was weird. Like, no, you could never really get any momentum going. And that happens. But yeah, it was definitely a more reserved, upscale.
I'm just shocked at his age. I didn't know he was in his 50s. I thought he was
a young-looking dude.
Is he capitalizing on Ari Gold? Or does, like, with the shirts and the content?
I'll say this, man. He's putting in work. I think he respects the comedy game. You can tell that he's got a lot of respect. He doesn't think, well, I'm Ari Gold. I'm famous. I don't have to put in the work. He does open mics 4 or 5 times a week. So he's out there grinding and putting in work like the rest of us. And so he's got a lot of respect for the game. And I think he would be dumb if he didn't use it. So it's kind of his, and boy, I would hate to be him because it's hard to get through a show without people just yelling at you. Kind of like, you know, you heard the stories about Chappelle, how people would yell stuff at Chappelle during it, like, you know, F your couch or I'm Rick James, bitch, just in the middle of a set. Just ruining the set. And he had that happen, and he was very patient, and he was, you know, he handled it well, because that would be very frustrating to try and do your material, and people are just shouting out, Ari! Like, yeah, we all know that's who I was, and, like, you don't have to yell it out, weirdo.
Yeah.
But he handled it pretty well, all things considered, so.
Yeah, I was a big fan, but I'll tell you this, I've told you this before, too, but you know what? The whole thing, when I met Bob Uecker for the first time, that was like, yeah, don't ever anticipate looking forward to meeting someone that you know you grew
it might
up your
be a little
life.
Bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say this, sometimes you don't know the extenuating circumstances of the person and what's going on and stuff like that, but all in all though, man, for me it ended up being I saved the weekend by one of my buddies goes, bro, you sold shirts in the parking lot? I was like, hey man, you gotta do what you gotta do, you gotta hustle. He was like, bro, next time just sell fruit, you sound like a flea market. I was like, bro, if I could make $500 selling fruit after a show, I would do it. I don't care. I'm out there hustling, man. I'm not too good to hustle.
Dude, all you got to do is back the car up to the front door, pop the trunk. And
don't think I didn't think about it because it would have been easier. What I did is, though, I grabbed the table from the bar, took it outside, and set it up on the sidewalk right there after you left. You had to pass me. And, man, I'll say, you know, this is crazy. I couldn't wait to come back and tell you guys this. After that show, that second show, I have never had more people want to hug me.
That's awesome.
It was the funniest thing.
Because I was going to tell you when you said you were making money in the parking lot, I said, imagine if you charge for hugs.
And I know that that's kind of our running joke, is that, you know, you tell people I don't like to be hugged like that. And it's funny because this show, like, dudes, chicks, couples, they were just like, oh, my God, can I get a hug from you? It was the weirdest. And I'm thinking, in my mind, all I'm thinking is, did they set me up? Is there something going on? I know Nick and Joel could do some mean stuff. Is this a setup right now? Am I on camera?
I wish I could claim that, but no, that is not my...
I'm not kidding you when I tell you 10 different people wanted to hug me after. I've had 3 people in a year want to hug me after the show. 10 people wanted to hug after the show. It was crazy.
That's fantastic. Those are suspects. Those are people that know.
Well, no, I don't know. Because then... The MC was like, you can hear this guy on 96.5 The Fan. I'm like,
oh, he's Stephen A. Smith. Yeah.
None of that is right. He's a huge Cowboy fan. I was like, nope, that is not it either. But he's just like, well, I was like, whatever. I always tell him, if you screw up my intro, I don't care. It's not a big deal. Most people get upset about it. I'm like,
you don't roast him?
No.
No,
really? No, what's funny is he's an old dude. His name's Ross, and he's maybe like in his 50s or he's probably like mid 50s. Almost entire set, he plays a washboard.
Really?
Yes. And it's funny. Like, at first you're like, he wears a suit, he's got gray hair, and he's goofy looking. He's like, hey, howdy ho, right? But he gets up there and he starts playing the washboard. Oh my God, it's hilarious. I was dying laughing. I was like, bro, don't change who you are on stage. This is so funny. Because some people, like, one guy goes, hey, more washboarding and less rapping. That was how he heckled. Because he was rapping while he was playing the washboard. It was wild, dude. It was an interesting weekend.
You might have been traveling, but Willie Geist for Sunday Today interviewed Seinfeld. It was a two-parter. And he talked all about how he picked routines and things he would do. And one of the things he said was his intro. Don't ever talk about how popular I was, my show, how great the TV show was. He goes, because then I feel like I have to live up to that.
Just say my name and bring me up.
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing. And like, there's credits, right? So the MCs will say, so what do you want me to say? And it's one of those things where you're trying to establish your credibility in an intro. 90% of the people listening aren't listening. They don't care what you're. Everywhere I go is the same. Like, if I feel like I have to add something to it, I'll say, you know, you can hear him on ESPN 97, ESPN Radio in Houston. He's open for George Wallace and Gilbert Gottfried. But usually that's just like to try to add credibility for whatever reason. But mostly I'm just like, man, just say my name. You can say ESPN Radio in Houston.
Friends with Alyssa Milano Facebook.
Yeah. If you screw up my name or any of that, don't worry about it. I don't care. Because if I'm not funny, they're not going to remember any of it. If I'm funny, they'll ask me after the show. And that's how I look at it. I don't care if you screw it up. Because I've been there, man. I've screwed up. I think I told you this story, but when I was emceeing my first year in comedy, I asked this guy, hey, what do you want me to say? His name is Warren B. Hall. And he goes, I said, what do you want me to say for your intro? He goes, dude, I don't care what you say. Just don't screw my name up. I was like,
yeah, I remember you telling that.
Bet, I got it. And I got out there and I was like, y'all give it up for William B. Oh, damn it. No. And I like literally am screaming at myself at the microphone because I screwed his name up. And then I couldn't remember his name, so I'm just standing there. And he goes, Warren. I was like, oh, God, Warren B. Hall. And he comes up, and he roasted me for 5 minutes. Just murdered me on the mic. And I deserved it. I should have. But at that point, I was like, you know, if I ever feature a headline, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. And that was my lesson from that is, like, it doesn't mean anything. Because if you're not funny, no one cares what your name was or what your credits were.
There you go. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Just a half hour in, 3 hour show. Happy to have you along for the ride. HRP listener line open right now, 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Before we head to the break, though, I want to tell you the Rockets are back in town. They're playing the Utah Jazz tonight. They're going to be home for most of the rest of the month. And there's a perfect gift opportunity for you here with the Houston Rockets. They're selling Rockets holiday packs. There's two different packs, five games as low as $149, about $30 a ticket. That's a great deal. Two different plans, as I mentioned. The red pack includes a game with the Celtics and Kyrie Irving, the Brow and the Pelicans, and of course another matchup with the Luka Doncic, the fabulous rookie of the Mavs. And the silver pack has Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors, Steph Curry and the Warriors, and more. You can take advantage of these packs. Just go to Rockets.com or call 713-627-DUNK. And while you're there at Rockets.com, realize that there's other games coming up. This Wednesday night, against the Washington Wizards, Bradley Beal, John Wall, and oh, by the way, Trevor Ariza. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, one family holiday photo with either Santa Clutch or some live reindeer, starting as low as just $89. What a great way to get someone a late gift for the holidays. Also, 2 o'clock Christmas Day, they play the Thunder. You can check out tickets there as well. Go to Rockets.com for all the ticket information. And while you're at it on the line, go to Rocketshop.com for exclusive holiday retail deals as well. You can really hook up your Rockets fan during the holidays. Again, Rockets.com or for tickets, 713-627-DUNK.
ESPN 97.5. Chill. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick. Just getting it started. Going to talk some Texans real quick, though, before we get to the Texans and their lucky weekend.
You're stirring it up early.
A couple of people, Chan on Twitter, and then we got a text that says, so is Barry going to be a fatter, less funnier Tosh.0 like Carlos Mencia on a podcast? And Chan said the same thing. So basically, you're Carlos Mencia doing Tosh.0's thing where you you have viral stars on your show. First of all, you idiots. It's not the same thing. Tosh.0 did Web Redemptions where he let them try to make up for the mistake that they made that went viral. What I'm doing is interviewing people that went viral and finding out how it changed their life and what they're up to now. So y'all can kiss my ass with that whole Carlos Mencia talk.
Monday,
pay attention.
1:33 Monday on the record. We're getting an early start.
I just hate when people do that. They try to be funny or they don't pay attention. And it's like, no, I you think I'm that stupid that I don't know that Tosh.0 doesn't exist? Come on, man.
I think the other thing, too, is that people, we've talked about this before, people take it too far. People want to desperately get the attention of having their text read or their tweets read, and they know that we're willing participants in the fun and games department, but just they take it too far.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really talk after my meltdown.
Well, and you also take it too far.
Last week, I should say. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it happens.
Yeah. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. No, this is nothing like Web Redemptions with Tosh.0. This is an interview where I asked them, I asked them about going viral. I asked them how it changed their life. I asked them what they're doing now. We find out where they're at. You know, are they still where they were before they went and what's going on? So nice try, though. I see you guys trying to be funny.
I'm not going to be mean like you two to listeners anymore, though. I'm going to be the nice guy.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Not going to.
Okay. There's guys.
It starts now.
Oh. No, it's too
late. Why don't you wait till January 1 and just call it a resolution?
You're right, because I have, what, how many days before January 1?
So, yeah, let it 13 fly days. Now, and then in January 1, call it that your resolution, and then you can try it. Because you're not going to make it, so you might as well try it.
I'm all about the people.
By the way, shout out to everybody texting in saying, yo, I'm like 28 and I hurt my back this morning, so don't worry about it, Mary. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, but did you hurt your back putting a cup on a car? No, probably not. Listen, probably not.
I'm giving Nick credit for that one.
Punk ass Nick. I don't know why. I hate you. I hate you so much.
Wow. Me or Chan?
You.
Because Chan is the one who's stirring it up on Twitter.
I hate you.
I see your response, and boy, you held back on that one.
I hate you.
Not? Holy cow.
You look. Look.
He's like, first of all, bleep you. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is not going to be a nice tweet.
Okay,
not going to be a nice
why?
Tweet.
Do you know why? Do you know why?
I do know why.
Do you think? What do you think the one thing you would never want to say to another comedian and call him?
A thief or not funny.
Exactly. Yeah. A thief. Yeah. He called me Carlos Mencia. Kiss my whole entire ass.
All I saw was, first of all, bleep you. I'm like, I'm not even going to read the rest of that tweet.
I'm right there with you.
Because I know.
You can tell me I'm not
funny. I hadn't looked at Twitter. I look at Twitter, and the first thing I see is right off the bat, Barry. First of all, F you. Hey, all right.
You don't have to think I'm funny. You don't have to like me. That's fine. But don't call me a thief. I'm not stealing nobody's ideas. No, that's not. I don't like that. Not at all.
Okay, I got some people that I'm gonna tell you.
Try not to say the
F word.
I'm just trying not to curse on air, get dumped. So
I got some
I'm
people
trying.
Throughout the show. I'm gonna tell you called you a thief, and just because it's gonna make me feel really good.
Just
to let
to
you
piss
go
me
out.
Off.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna continue to roll through. You know what? It was weird. Saturday was weird because it was like an all Houston day for television viewing. Once you got into the Texans game, because you had the Texans rolled right into the Rockets. You also had another game with the Broncos where you had Case Keenum quarterback in there. But there was plenty to watch for on a Saturday.
Yeah,
that normally isn't the case. But then it throws off your Sunday.
Did you like it? I was going to ask you. Did you like having professional football on a Saturday?
I loved that part of it. Here's what I didn't like. And the NFL needs to do a better job. As good as the NFL is at looking at the schedule and going, oh, there's no more college games really per se for the next couple of weeks late in the season, we're going to get some extra exposure. But then on Sunday, 9 early games,
yeah,
2 late games.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit. Why do you have the Sunday ticket after the first games? Because I'm trying to follow 9 different games in the early slot and then go, well, I can just press channel back and forth and catch the other 2 games.
Yeah. Yeah, that did make it confusing. Actually, one thing I did watch up until the Texans game started, I was watching that North Carolina A&T Alcorn State game, and it was really good. That was a good football game.
You're an idiot.
Okay, basketball in October.
I didn't take it that far. I didn't even follow the game that I bet on Friday night with AJ. I'm just happy that they won.
What, the Fresno
the
State
App
game?
State. Yeah. No, Appalachian State.
Oh, that's what you... I thought you said you had Fresno State.
No, I took Appalachian State. Oh, okay. Yeah, they won big.
Oh, there you go.
And I was like, boom! I won that one.
Whew. Yeah.
Then the Seahawks just crapped the bed, peed down their leg, and took me to 1-1 for the weekend.
Likewise. I went 1-1. But this Texans game, you know, they're lucky that they won that 27-25. They really are. Or 27-24, I should say.
I'll tell you what really...
And I know people are like, wait a minute, I thought it was 29-22. No, this should have been a 27. They were gifted the field goal at the end. Mm-hmm. That doesn't count. So take away those 3 points. Jets missed 2 extra points, so that's 24. And then, of course, the Texans missed one. So it really was a 27-24 game. This was a little bit closer, not as high scoring, not as big of a margin of victory as it should have been. They kind of got lucky. I feel like, and I don't know if you guys do, I feel like they got out of New York lucky.
Escape from New York. Because here's the thing. What people weren't paying enough attention to, as much as we gave Bill O'Brien the chance to resurrect his reputation through the 9 wins and everything like that, he almost completely gift-wrapped it when the Jets should have challenged that spot late in the game. They didn't. And all of a sudden, the play stops, and I go, oh, well, they threw the red flag late. He calls a timeout. And the Jets, dumbass, and I will say this. Todd Bowles probably should be fired because of the fact that after a timeout and his coaching staff had enough time to go, you know, coach, you might want to throw that red flag now because they haven't run another play and we can still look at this, but I think we got there. Instead, Bill O'Brien just like gift wraps a chance for them to extend the drive and he doesn't take
it. They
don't take
advantage of it.
What are you doing? Oh, I was fired up about that. I was like, you idiot. I was explaining it to Lisa, and I go, no, the more I explain it to you, the more upset I'm going to be because it's just a completely dumbfoundedly idiotic move.
Yeah, I didn't get it at all, and I made a mistake. I thought Fairbairn missed an extra point. He did not. I don't know why I was thinking that they had one missed one, too. So it really should have been 26-24. Okay. I mean, it was a close football game.
What
they were
catch.
Gifted the field goal, and I agree with you. They were gifted that the Bill O'Brien
the
got lucky,
that,
but by calling the timeout and them not challenging it. But it was one of those things. I mean, we talked about it on Friday that the Texans were better across the board coming into this game than the Jets. Maybe the Jets, and it was weird. It was literally the complete opposite of what I thought because we talked about offensively the Texans are better in every category. Defensively, they're better in every category except defending the pass where the Jets excelled a little better. I mean, they were 16th in the league and giving up passing yards as opposed to the Texans being in the lower 20s. And what do? They go out, they throw around the ball for almost 300 yards. Deshaun Watson gets 300 yards passing, and they can't run the ball at all. They could not run against this Jets defense, and they couldn't stop the rush. They couldn't stop the pass rush. That I did not see coming either, man.
There was heat coming on him at all times.
They really got – and that third quarter might have been the ugliest quarter of football that I've seen this team play all year, including the 3-in-a-row losses. That was an until like what 2 minutes left when he hit
D-Hop.
No, and he hit what's his name?
Which one are you talking about?
The 50-yard pass was to Carter. He had that 50-yard he had that 50-yard pass to Carter with time winding down in the third quarter. Outside of that, that was an ugly quarter of football for the Texans. And then I'm thinking, oh damn, they're gonna blow this.
But for all that you said in the first half, it looked like, oh, they got this. You know, they got the double digit lead going to the break.
Yep.
It's like, okay, they'll figure it out in the second half and really roll. And then, like you said, complete turd from both teams in the third quarter, and you're like, oh my God, they may just absolutely give this thing away.
The only thing I thought Deshaun Watson started to show signs of that he did well, and you didn't even see it in the first half, and you haven't really seen it a lot this year, is I felt like he started to recognize the blitz better in the second half, and he would throw at the blitz. And they'll tell you that, like, if you see somebody coming off the edge,
that means
then throw at the blitz. Yeah. Throw to the side where the blitz is coming from. So if you got a guy, like an edge rusher, that they bring somebody, you know, blitzing from the left, then your tight end is your hot read right there. And he did that. He picked him up there, and he picked him up a couple other times when they were – because they were bringing a ton of pressure from everybody. They were bringing in a safety, so – I thought he did a better job. He wasn't very accurate at it, but it's good at least that he's starting to make those reads. That's the evolution of Deshaun Watson that we want to see.
The bench does a promo on it, though, and they're so right, though. At some point, he's got to learn that extending a play is not always good.
Yeah.
Because the more he extends a play, the more they take big yardage losses that they don't need to take.
It's funny because they said the same thing about Darnold. I mean, he was just extending the play for no reason. Then he throws it out of bounds, and they act like he's a damn MVP because they were like, well, look at him. He learned how to throw it away. Yeah.
Jeez.
Good
All right, him. So we're just getting started on the Texans. If you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776, where we can talk some Texans with you. We still got some Rockets to get to at some point. And, of course, that football game last night, amongst other things, and a Monday night game this evening. So plenty to get to, plenty on the agenda, but things, we've always got room for more. If you want to join us, too, we are here for you. Again, more of the usual suspects in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5. I came to get down, I came to get down, so get out your seat and jump around. Jump around, jump around, jump around,
jump up and get down. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's back is better. That's a good thing as we roll on with hour number one as you beat the living hell out of the desk during the break.
Bless. People are so stupid.
For once, I am not the reason why he is beating the hell out of the desk, and I'm happy for that. God. But you idiots out there that want to poke the bear, get what I did there?
See?
Poking the bear today, probably not a good idea. But yet, once you're poked back, normally people learn their lesson, they walk away. Well, some of you, you're going to get what you asked for. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, my God. I do like that people are sending in suggestions on who to get.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
Somebody said, get the I Like Turtles kid, although they didn't say it that nicely.
You're going to get the lady that says, I ain't got time for all that.
Yeah, she's on the list. Right. I'm hoping to get her. Somebody said, Barry, I can get you the guy from the Georgia Dome implosion bus video. You remember that guy?
Yeah, I do.
Where he sat there ready to record, and then the bus pulled in right when it. I want that guy. So, yeah, shoot me, whoever texted that in and said you can get that guy, DM me on Twitters, and I'll get his contact info from you.
Speaking of that, one you might want to get, because this video might blow up, but there was a guy that put it out there, the tweet came out this morning. He was sitting there, like, on his way to work or something like that, and he saw all the people kind of going away from the middle of the road on either side and running away from their cars. So he had his phone out. So he starts recording. He's like, why am I pulling over? And all of a sudden, like a bat out of hell, coming right at him, this car's going like 100 and swerves just a little bit, catches the guardrail. And before you know it, he's filming the car coming right at his ass. And you just, the phone goes, falls out of it. And he's like, and yeah, he just got crushed by the car. He was okay. I have to show it to you during the break. It was a hell of a video.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, we'll see. That's cool. But it's a good idea. People just, I mean.
It's so funny because somebody was like, well, you know, Tosh also interviews people. Oh, really? Well, maybe that's like 90% of the podcasts out there are about interviews. Like, are you telling me that Tosh is the only person on the planet that can interview anyone that's ever been on the internet? Is that really what you're telling me now?
I don't know if you saw that rule, but it is a new
Jesus.
Rule.
Jesus. Well, then if that's the case, 60 minutes, that was it. They're the only people that can do an interview. No, Barbara Walters, sorry. Sorry, you don't have a career now. I mean, God bless.
Is Barbara Walters on 60 Minutes?
No, I'm saying she's. Oh. That would be like saying Barbara Walters copied 60 Minutes because they interviewed people. Like, God, I don't know. I'm just not in the mood for this.
I would hope that's the only way BS Barbara today. Walters copied 60 Minutes, by the way, because their problems are getting worse with all the abuse and the. Good Lord. 60 Minutes was a dirty, dirty place, just like CBS overall.
Yeah.
Man.
Here's a stat from the game on Saturday.
Oh, back to football.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Why not?
I'm tired of bitching about it. A stat from the game that bothers me a little bit. Now, this isn't a Jets pass rush that puts fear into anybody. Would you agree with that?
I've mentioned a few of them. They've got some young players, but it's not by any stretch of the imagination, the Bears.
No, it's not a team where you're like, ooh, they're scary. I mean, they sit at 19th in the NFL in sacks with 34. So not a team that, I mean, they're in the bottom third of the NFL when it comes to sacks and getting after quarterback. They had 10 QB hits in the game and 6 sacks. 10 hits, 6 sacks from a team that's in the last 10 or so in the NFL in sacks. That's a bad sign. That's and we've seen that kind of all year where we've talked about this Texans. They can run the ball. This is an offensive line that when they start running that zone blocking scheme and Lamar Miller sees the hole and hits it, everything is going great. Everything looks good. This whole offense is predicated on the run. You're going to have to throw the ball in the playoffs. You're going to have to air it out at some point. And if you can't keep Deshaun Watson upright or at least give him a pocket for a few seconds to feel comfortable in, this is going to be ugly. And if a team like the Jets is getting after you with six sacks and 10 QB hits total, that's a really bad sign with 2 weeks left to go. To me, that is the number one thing this team has to clean up right now.
And here's the thing, because Baltimore's probably a playoff team too. But the same things are being said about the Ravens because Jackson only threw for like 142 yards. And they're saying, look, he can't just do it with his legs. He's got to throw the ball. Different scenarios in the fact that he's just trying to get his feet wet and figure out NFL football on the fly while he's on a playoff team. Whereas Deshaun, after this amount of time, needs to kind of make the subtle adjustments we were talking about. Because you can't worry about the outside noise either. Get off of Twitter. Just get off, because you see him every now and then where he's hawking what everybody's saying to him, and then all of a sudden he starts reacting. It's not about that. It's about what happens in your locker room, what happens in your coaches' meetings, and someone's got to tell him, for as athletic as he is and for the way he can extend plays, man, he's taking a lot of extra hits and sacks because he's just extending plays too much.
Yeah, I think the difference, though, between him and Lamar Jackson is – I think people respect and expect Deshaun Watson's arm to be good.
You're right.
I mean, I don't know that anyone was like, well, Lamar Jackson should be out there slinging it around, and he's a running quarterback, and he's going to, you know, he's going to create a lot with his legs, and if he can, you know, go 10 of 15 or 10 of 20, oh, that's great. That's icing on the cake. I think for Deshaun Watson, people want this kid to be a passer first.
Sure.
But he can be dynamic and create with his legs as something you also have to consider. So that's what worries me, is that this isn't a, you know, he's not, he's got the arm. He's got the arm talent, and he's getting there on as far as decision-making goes. But it's almost like he's not getting a chance to do any of that stuff.
He does have the arm. I did see some people, and I want to say it was in the CBS studio, that were questioning his accuracy a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, look, he continues to progress. He continues to get better and better. And the other big difference is, in Baltimore, they're calling planned runs for Jackson.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't want that if you're the Texans. Look, if you're in a pinch and you're trying to extend a play and the play is breaking down the line and the pocket's falling apart around you, then go. Go get yourself four or five and hit slide. But, man, it's complete opposites in the fact that Jackson's offense is predicated around his legs.
Right.
Whereas Deshaun can do so much more. And we saw the deep balls. And look, how many times, going back to his accuracy and whoever had said that, the biggest thing was, look at the ball that Nuke Hopkins caught for the touchdown that ended up to be the game winner.
Uh-huh.
That was the throw that Brock Osweiler couldn't make. Remember how we said 50-50 balls were 20-80 balls because he just didn't know where to put it and how to put it? That was part of the reason why Hopkins was able to make the play he made, was where Watson put the ball.
Yeah. No, you're right. I don't think he's wildly inaccurate. I think he has moments where he might not, you know, but that's going to be a lot of questions. I mean, hell, look how bad Tom Brady was yesterday.
Look at Rodgers.
Look how bad Aaron Rodgers was yesterday. I mean, these guys are going to have moments where they don't. But overall, I think he's fine. And, you know, he gives all you really want when you have a weapon like DeAndre Hopkins is give him a chance to
Absolutely.
Get the ball. And it's exactly what you said. Well, you talked about those were, you know, 60-40 balls at best when it was Brock Osweiler. He legitimately has a chance almost every time when Deshaun Watson throws in the ball to go up and get it. And that's what you want. Let him be who he is, and he'll make plays, and he does.
And we can get to this after the break, but the thing is, though, how funny it is. It doesn't even mean take a loss anymore. They win 9 in a row. They lose a 3-point game, and people are jumping off the bandwagon. Now they win a game, but they don't win it the right way, and people are like, well, they're not going anywhere. That's terrible. I mean, week to week, that's why I'm saying stay away from social media and all the noise, because the noise is going to freaking rattle your cage.
But
it does throw you concerned.
I was going to say, do you not agree this game is more concerning than that Colts game?
Absolutely it is. Because this
game should not have been close.
Because – you know what? Sometimes, like, flukes happen.
Yeah.
But when you talk about...
And the Colts was a good football team.
Sure.
They're a good football team.
And they proved it yesterday.
Yeah.
On top of that. So when you look at when flukes become patterns, two straight games where they absolutely can't run the ball at all, where Watson's taking extra punishment, that's when it starts to become a concern, not just a fluke.
Dude, did you see the box score for running stats? Deshaun Watson, 26 yards on 4 carries. Lamar Miller, 3 carries, 8 yards. DeAndre Carter, 1 carry, 7 yards. Alfred Blue, 9 carries, 6 yards.
Ugh.
That is atrocious.
That's awful.
And that's a Jets team that was not good at stopping the run.
That's
bad. Now, you know, on the flip side, Texans fans got what they wanted. You always bitch about how, oh, it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust for this Texans offense. All they do is run the ball. Deshaun Watson threw it 28 times.
Yeah, the deep ball was pretty.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's concerning.
So we got plenty to get to. We just got going on some Texans. Got to get Nick's thoughts on the overall game itself as well. And Brandon, we see you. We'll get you to open up hour number two. Before we head to the break, though, I do want to tell you about the PXG Golf people and the fact that they're making some extraordinary golf clubs right now. If you've got a golfer on your holiday gift list and you're trying to find out what to get that person and if they would really appreciate some great golf clubs, I'm telling you, once they hit these PXG clubs, they will never go back to anything they have hit previously because they are engineered clubs that will launch it higher, have you hitting it farther. They got a soft feel, more forgiveness and accuracy than any other club you're going to put in your bag. And the reviews back them up 150%. Absolutely remarkable. The best golf clubs out there are some of the quotes you're hearing. And PXG Tour Pros describe them as undeniably the best and the real deal. And they're backing that up with results. PXG clubs have won on every major tour around the globe and even a college national championship. People are talking and they're switching and they're playing PXG clubs. Why? Because they're getting results. So if you want results, you want to lower your scores and have more fun on the course, what are you waiting for? Step up your game and enjoy golf more than ever. Schedule a fitting at the Club of Carlton Woods in the Woodlands right here in Houston. Call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit PXG.com to book your custom fitting for these PXG clubs. PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.